I want to welcome you to Living Hope Church. This Sunday is World Missions Sunday. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what God is doing around the world and opportunities. We're going to present four different areas that you could be involved with what we're seeing God do around the world. And so our mission here at Living Hope is that we want to be a church that no one does life alone. And we really want to make sure that people are doing life together. And so we want, in order to do that, we want to put into practice what Jesus taught his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gives this directive to those as he is getting ready to leave the earth and is equipping them to go out and to spread the gospel. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And so back in April, Pastor Brian came and talked to me about joining this missions team and trying to kind of make a cohesive plan for what we were going to support as a church. And so one of the things that we thought about and we talked about was, how can we take the mission of Living Hope, which is to make sure that we're providing a community opportunity for these people, for people that we minister to, not only in Madison, but around the world, and how can we also do what Jesus commanded, which is to make disciples, so we're not just going, doing a work, and then heading home and saying, "See you later, here's your nice house, good luck," you know. The team that I met with, Floyd Demaray, if you're here, go ahead and stand up, all right? Chelsea Smith in the back, Jolene Lee, there we go, and Peggy Luke, are you here? Where are you at? All right. And myself, we all met for the last 6 months. We've had about six or seven times where we've sat down and kind of tried to hammer out, what is it that God wants to do this year through Living Hope around the world? What is it that's our heartbeat, and how can we spread that around the world? Well, we're going to start off with something that you're very familiar with, I'm sure. Chad and Jody Larson were the co-founders of Leah's Kids. And Leah's Kids is an organization that works with an orphanage in Guatemala called Casa Angelina. How many of you, just out of curiosity, have gone to Guatemala to serve at Casa Angelina? Go ahead and raise your hand if you have done that. If you'll look around, you'll see that there's quite a pretty good representation. And Chad is actually in Guatemala or on his way home today. He's just led a team there. And two of our people from Living Hope beyond himself are there as well. Craig Van Hove and Colton Foster, and they're coming back after serving for this last week. But I'm going to let this video, we recorded a video with Chad a couple weeks ago knowing that he was going to be gone, and so I'm going to let him kind of explain what it is that Leah's Kids is all about and how that affects, or how we're going to partner with him. So let's go ahead and check this out together.
You know, Guatemala is a place that has 300,000 orphans right now that have not been rescued. And so there's a huge need in Guatemala. That's one of the reasons what draws us there. And initially, when Jody and I first went on our first trip, it was to build a church for a community that needed a church. And so it wasn't anything about the orphans, but we started to realize how many orphans there were there. On the last day of that trip, we were there, like I said, to construct a church. On the last day of that trip, we visited an orphanage, and there was a little child that came up to me, I think he was 10 or 11, and he just gave me a handmade gift and said, "Here, this is for your wife." And I thought, why would you do that? What would make you think of us when you have nothing? And it really changed our life. It changed our perspective. I remember thinking and praying to God before I went on that trip, "Lord, just show me the big picture." And here it is. I mean, the big picture wasn't that big. It was really small. It was an 11-year-old that needed help, that was thinking of other people. And so then Casa Angelina was created. The land was purchased, and we started to go back year after year, initially just to do construction, to build the first buildings. And then children started to come, and we, I think God gave us the vision to want to do more. And so that's where the idea for Leah's House was created. So we could help maybe rescue 15 more or 18 more orphans and get them off the street. What is Leah's Kids as an organization? It was originally created to fund a home called Leah's House that a lot of people from Living Hope might know about, that they were involved in the funding of the construction of that home. That was its original, the original reason that there was a Leah's Kids organization. Now that Leah's Kids organization has morphed into more where now its mission statement is to serve widows, orphans, and the underprivileged in Guatemala and beyond. So how does Leah's Kids do that, a lot of people ask. And it accomplishes the serving the orphans part of its mission by funding the ongoing expenses of Leah's House, which was constructed by the organization, but it also helps fund another house called Harvest House. So Leah's House and Harvest House are two of the 10 homes that are at Casa Angelina Orphanage. So as you can imagine, anybody that's ever had children in their household, they know how expenses go up when there's another kid, another child, and another child. Well, imagine having 15 children in a house. And so a lot of what we're funding there is the ongoing expenses of more clothes, more school books, the food, tutors for the children. All of that is being funded by Leah's Kids. And so on any given day, the kids get up and have breakfast and get ready and go to school. There's a school right on premises at Casa Angelina. And it's a great school where they're learning both Spanish and English. Some of these children just know a Mayan dialect when they're rescued. They don't even know Spanish, so they have to learn Spanish first and then English. They learn about Jesus. They are taught musical instruments and math and English and everything that our kids are taught here. And so it's a great education. And Leah's Kids is committed to helping these children all the way through, not just high school education, but all the way, as much education as they want to go to. And so whether that means through the first couple of years of college or to get a craft or to go on to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. And so we think that education and Christ are the way that that these kids are going to break through to the next generation of leaders and helpers for Guatemala that Guatemala really needs. And so there's a medical facility right there at Casa Angelina that helps, you know, if there's any medical needs. When a child comes originally off the street, there's, as you can imagine, a lot of things that has to be done medically, just psychologically, to help them trust again and hope again. But the Lord does a lot of that and restores a lot. So the other thing that they're being taught is to give, which you would think these kids have nothing. How can they be taught to give? But they really are taught that if you receive, then you should give, and that principle. And so a lot of times we've seen where at Christmas time they'll get a truckload of their toys and go out to a community around there and give to the other kids that are really, really underprivileged. Leah's Kids accomplishes the serving widows part of its mission by funding the construction of widows' homes. And these are homes that are built for widows that formerly lived in very poor conditions, sometimes cornstalk shacks. And so far this year, we have funded the construction of 3 widows' homes, with a fourth one to be completed by the end of the year. The third part of its mission statement is serving the underprivileged, and Leah's Kids is funding that portion of funding the underprivileged by contributing to the ongoing expenses of an area called Land of Hope, which is an area that's right outside of a garbage dump, and it helps to provide those families that actually live in the garbage dump with meals, and some with housing and education for the children that are there working, living, and eating every day in the garbage dump. And so those are the 3 main things that Leah's Kids is doing today, is helping fund orphan homes at Casa Angelina, helping fund the construction of widows' homes in Guatemala, and then helping at the Land of Hope, which is a land outside of the dump in Escuintla, Guatemala.
So you had an opportunity to hear a little bit more about what Leah's Kids is all about. And I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning, but we're going to be supporting as a church four projects. That's our goal. That's our vision for 2017-2018. And the first two are under the umbrella of Leah's Kids. And so the first thing that Chad talked about is that there is ongoing expenses. Many of you were a part of supporting and raising and building the home that we built called Leah's House back in 2010 and even before that. And so it's great that we built the house, but there is ongoing expenses. And so as a church, we're committing to raise $10,000 towards that $41,000 per year benchmark. And so that's what our goal is, at least $10,000. And talking with Chad, if we get more, which I think we can do, I think God can do that, if we get more, then that money will spill over into another house that is affiliated with people that have gone with us called Harvest House. And so we have an opportunity to take this idea of discipleship, you know, because they're going to disciple these kids there about what it means to follow Jesus. And then also give them a home and a place where they can belong so that they don't have to do life, you know, in a garbage dump by themselves. They don't have to live on the streets. And so that accomplishes what we're trying to do in Leah's House. And Floyd is up here. Floyd Demaray has been involved with the trips down to Guatemala. And so I'm just going to invite Floyd to share a little bit about our second project that we're going to commit to this year. And so go ahead, Floyd, and explain how you've become involved with this and how we as a church can become involved.
About 4 years ago, Chad and Jody Larson asked me to consider going to Guatemala with them. And I went to the organizational meeting, and I thought, well, that's interesting. And I went home. Didn't think nothing about it. 2 years ago, they asked me again, and I went to the organizational meeting, and I decided I'd head to Guatemala. And I went to Guatemala. Going to Guatemala was right for me, but I went there for all the wrong reasons. And to explain that a little bit, I went down there as what I would call a Christian tourist. Antigua is full of old history. I like to travel. And as we're soon going to find out, it's cold in South Dakota in February. And I wanted to avoid that if I could. And when I got down there, we toured the orphanage, and right away one of the little orphan kids latched on to me and met me at the bus every day, and I was off the bus every day, and we had an opportunity to go out into the villages and visit some of these widows and look at the homes that they lived in and some of the homes that had been built for them by the orphanage. And on Tuesday night, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had tears in my eyes, and I thought, I got to build one of these homes. Got to get involved in that. And I fell right back asleep. Well, then in the morning when I woke up, it was like, what was this? What happened? And that morning I had breakfast with a new friend of mine, Anita Peterson, and I shared that with her, and she said, well, I want to do that too. And that was the beginning of our journey to raise funds to build a widow's home down there in Guatemala. And I'm just going to ask you, how many of you have been to a third world country? I will just throw this out for you to consider. If you have never been to a third world country and you haven't seen it and heard it, tasted it in the air, you have no idea the depth of poverty that these people live in. We see the images on TV and then off we go. But once you're down there, it's very striking the poverty these people live in. And I guess that's what really grabbed my heart, was that the poverty that they lived in. When I was visiting with Pastor Nathan last night, it dawned on me, our mission statement here is that no one should do life alone. There's no support basis in Guatemala for these people. If they don't have anything saved up or anything, there's nobody that's going to look out for them. And through Casa Angelina, they pick out needy widows. They make sure they own the land. They're Christian families. And through fundraisers such as this, they build a home for them. when Anita and I decided that this was going to be a project for last year, we went down there in February and helped construct a home. There wasn't even a widow by the time we'd raised the funds. But after we'd raised the funds, there was a young widow who has five children, one who is less than a year old. Her husband was killed picking fruit for his family. And the ball started rolling that we could go down there in February and build this widow a home. It didn't really sink in to Maria that she was going to have a new home until about the third day of construction. I was putting a doorway in, and I looked out through the doorway out to a window, and she was looking in and had her head down on the windowsill and was just crying uncontrollably. And she had finally realized that this was going to be a new home for her. And I guess that's where we're at right now, is that we're raising funds again to go down and build another home. And it ties in with what we want to do. No person should do life alone. Once these people are accepted into this program, the medical help from the orphanage is available to them. The older orphans from the orphanage go out on a weekly basis and visit with these widows and their family and help them with their meals, help them wash clothes, and it's also a part of the orphanage. And that's the project that God's laid on my heart, and we're asking for help.
Thank you, Floyd. Like Floyd said, that's our second project, and that's something that has kind of come onto Floyd's heart. But we want to share these things, because why reinvent the wheel? Why try to come up with new projects or different things? Why not come alongside and partner with people who are already doing incredible things? And so that's the idea behind partnering with what Floyd has kind of instigated and started, and seeing how God will continue to build those homes. So let's thank you, Floyd, for sharing with us. Go ahead and express your appreciation for him. And now we're going to turn our attention towards our third project, which is involving the country of Nepal. So if you will watch this video, and then we'll talk about it.
Jumbas apa saja kerja kosong kalau kita mana, waktu itu tuh dalam naya macam jisu lu kat sini tu, ni tu kah, macam jin kau tu lagi tham, tahun jual pun aku nak tunggu tu.
Well, it's great to have my parents, Keith and Sandra Nash, with us this morning. And I'm purposely controlling this interview so that they don't start sharing things that I would prefer them not to share. So that's the reason I'm still up here. But we want to, it is an honor for me to have them here. They've been serving, the video said Northeast India, which is just on the border, correct me if I'm wrong, of Nepal. And so that same thing is happening all over Nepal. And they've been serving for the past 13 plus months. You were there for an 11 months straight and then have gone back several times since, and we'll continue that for the next 6 months. But I would like to just kind of ask you to share a little bit about what you've been up to. We've heard some things on, you know, but the people here have not heard all the things that you guys have been involved with. So if you can share just a few highlights, that'd be great.
Yeah, so we were here just about a year ago, or maybe a little over a year ago, and shared what God had laid on our hearts to go to Nepal for a year. And since then, we've been in Nepal, a country of 30 million people. It's a very dark country spiritually. It's been controlled for centuries by Hinduism and Buddhism. And you feel it a bit when you're there, but as you live there, that's when the heaviness just sort of comes in on you. We lived primarily in the city, the capital city of Kathmandu. It's a very, very, very rugged mountainous country of the Himalaya Mountains. And Kathmandu is located in a bowl with mountains all around. Very, very beautiful. In many ways, this last year has been our best year of our lives of ministry, but also our toughest year. And those two things don't seem to go together, but I think they do, and we found that to be the case. Very tough. Our primary job was to help come alongside the churches that identify themselves as Wesleyan and help them to fulfill the ministry. One of their primary tools of ministry and outreach has been the Jesus Film Ministry. We just saw about that in India. That's been a very effective outreach into the community and into their country, and in many ways, the gospel has just wide open doors. For centuries, Nepal has been closed, but the last 50 years now, and particularly the last dozen or 15 years, the door is thrown wide open, and they're saying that Nepal, while it's probably one of the poorest countries in the world economically, the church is growing faster there than in any place in the world, and we've had the privilege of being a little part of that. Sandra is an educator, an elementary education major, and has been a teacher all her life, and she saw in a specific way that discipleship material and teaching material curriculum for children was sadly lacking, almost totally lacking. And so I'll just ask Sandra to just talk about an exciting tool that she was able to develop while she was there.
Prior to our leaving for Nepal, we were granted permission, copyright permission, to print and translate 100 Old and New Testament Bible stories, pictorial Bible stories for children. And in first service, someone thought that I did the translating, and that's not true. We hired a Wycliffe Bible translator to do that work for us. And we were able to do that and print 500 sets that have been given to and distributed to village pastors throughout the country who have virtually no material of any kind to use for their children's ministry. So we do have a copy of it out in the back in the fellowship hall area that you could be sure to look at today.
What maybe were some of the biggest difficulties or struggles this past year? You had mentioned that you had the best year and the hardest year. And so maybe what was maybe one thing that was the most difficult thing or that the church is encountering there?
Okay, well, Nepal is sort of a study in contrast. It's really a beautiful country, and following the Lord there, we encountered struggles and difficulties and poverty and hardship, and we were outsiders for a year. We knew we were outsiders. We were guests in their country. We didn't know the language, and that was hard. But it was also very exciting to see what God's doing. One of the stories that I'd like to share is just outside of Kathmandu, about an hour and a half, 2 hours to the west, is a village called Peta. A young pastor there, Rajkumar, was converted about 7 years ago through the Jesus Film Ministry, and that's an exciting story in itself. He was, because of the Hindu oppression and the predominance there, he was an outcast in his own village for most of those time. But because of his faithfulness, he raised up a church and is now recognized as the leader there. Let me tell you one quick story about what happened last spring. We had some guests from America, and we were going up to Peta to see the church where Rajkumar is pastor. And it was right during the local elections, first one in 8 years. And if you're familiar with anything, any of the third world countries, sometimes elections bring out the harshest and the worst of people. And so we were warned and cautioned, be very careful while you're outside of Kathmandu traveling. We went up this steep mountain trail that's rugged and harsh, and it just rained, and so we were going through potholes, four-wheel drive conditions all the way. And we rounded the bend near our destination when we came up on about a 50-yard stretch of the road completely covered in water. And we just stopped. And we said, maybe we have to walk the rest of the way. And while we were considering what we were going to have to do, up behind us came a group of men on cycles, and they just came in one after another and blocked our way. There's no turning around, no getting away, and they all had Maoist, Chinese Maoist flags, their political party, and they were right there. There was probably a dozen or 15 of them, and immediately they were interested in us because we were Americans, outsiders, and they began to ask questions. And when we said, well, we're with Rajkumar, he was traveling with us, that was a mistake, because we found out later Rajkumar has been active in his community as a political figure. I mean, he's actively promoting another political party in his community, and these guys knew it. And they said, as soon as we started talking about that, they said, you're not supposed to be here. Outsiders don't belong up here. You're not supposed to be here. And they began to be very animated, and they surrounded us. And it was tense at best. We were praying silently as we were trying to explain. We were just here to see the village and see the Christian work that was being done. And but they told us, you don't belong here. And so God was gracious to us and protected us, and they finally were kind enough to make a way for us to back the vehicle up, and we backed it around. They were taking pictures of our license plates while we were there, so it was a very tense situation, but God protected us, and we got down the mountain without incident, and we're here to testify to God's protecting grace. But that's not the only way that God's protected us. God's provided us with friends, lifelong friends there. And Sandra has a story about an incident where God just opened the doors for her while we were traveling across the city in Kathmandu one time.
Tell that. We were on our way to language class, and riding in a temple, which is a three-wheeled vehicle that houses eight comfortably, and we've been on it when there were 17 in it. And I was on one side, and the lady across was we met eye-to-eye contact. And of course, it's not, you are not really allowed to speak publicly, and it's getting more so now about Christian faith, or if you are a Christian. But she happened to notice this bracelet that I was wearing with the cross on it, and she just looked across at me, and she pointed to the bracelet, and she whispered, Christian. And I shook my head yes. And she said, so am I. That was a point of connection and communication that we had at that moment. Soon she stopped, she got off and left. Never seen the lady again. But it reminded me of the Christians in the New Testament when they were could have been persecuted and they simply made the sign of the fish in the sand to say, I'm a Christian. And you know what? That is how we can be a silent witness and yet not always trying to do something, but let the Lord be through us.
Thank you. So if we're trying to talk, I mean, those are amazing stories about things that you experience, but some people here might just be, well, how do I get involved and what is happening there? I know you said that it's growing into one of the biggest, or it's really growing. But how can God use what we have here at Living Hope to enhance the ministry there?
That's a good question. I think what's happening in Nepal, and for us to be involved, it's helpful to know what is really occurring. And it reminds me of what's occurring and has occurred in Southern California in recent months and years. I'm told that Southern California has had drought for several years, and their landscape was very arid and barren for a lot of years. This last season, however, they've had abundance of rain. And what's happened is what's called superbloom there. And that is that over the years, there's been seeds planted all over that region, but they've been too dry to sprout. And when the rains came, all of those seeds sown over the years suddenly came to life, and the whole mountainside, all the terrain has just sprung to beautiful life, and the mountains are covered with beautiful colors. And as I heard that about that in Southern California, it reminded me of what's happened and is happening in Nepal. Nepal's very dry and barren ministry for a lot of years. And it's still very poor, very broken country. And last fall, we went to a refugee village. These are people that have lost their homes in the 2015 earthquake, and no one's rebuilding homes. The government's not doing it. The government is basically broken itself and not helping at all. And so these people are just living in abject poverty on terrible conditions. And when we went there, that we heard that there was a group that had been worshiping, and they were worshiping under a tattered blue tarp. And that was when we met them, and it broke my heart to see their conditions. And so we prayed, and I made a commitment, we're going to see that we help this group of people. And so because of people here in America and commitment, we were able to buy property and build a church for them. And that's happening all over Nepal now as Christian ministries are just flourishing and the gospel is flourishing. And what you ask me, what can Madison Church do? Pray, first of all. This was a tough year for us. It's a heaviness, darkness there. Pray. Because that will open doors that won't be open otherwise. And then contribute. At PETA Church, this church that I described to you, where Raj Kumar is, he's ministering not only there, but across the mountain. It's a 4 to 4.5 hour walking trip over to this other mountain, top of the mountain. And he has a group there that he's responsible for. We just need to provide the tools so they can get the job done. We need to get, and then 90% of the Christian leaders in these churches are untrained. And so we're trying to get this year an effective training process in place. And a key part of that is to establish a training center right in Kathmandu. And I know that's not on your list of four projects, but that's the biggest single project that we think needs to happen this year. But the tools for ministry for the pastors is important as well.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being here this morning. I know that many of you have supported them through prayer, and just appreciate you being here with us, and we'll continue to support in prayer for you guys. So,
thank you.
Thank you. So when they mentioned tools, in case you were wondering, what would be a tool that we could get people from point A to point B 4.5 hours in a lot quicker time? Well, we've come up with the idea of supporting and paying for motorcycles for them. And there are 5 pastors right now that could use a motorcycle. They're simple motorcycles, about $2,500 per motorcycle. And so we would like to commit to, we'd like to get all 5, but definitely want to get 1 motorcycle this next year. And if we can do all 5, how much the better for that, so that people will have a pastor to come and help disciple them, and so that people don't feel left out to try to fend for themselves. Not that God can't help them in their own, in His own way, but God has provided and equipped leaders to minister. And so that fits right in with the vision of Living Hope and what we are wanting to do. And so that's our third project. And now I'm going to invite Pastor Brian and Chelsea Smith to come up and just share about our fourth project. Up until this point, it's all projects that you are pretty familiar with. Leah's House, the orphanage in Guatemala, Widows Homes, and then in Nepal. But this is a new one for us, and so I'm going to let Pastor Brian and Chelsea visit just a little bit about that.
Thank you, Nathan. This one is new and is just, if it's as close to home as you can get and still be in another country, I think. No, I'm not talking about Minnesota. I'm talking about Mexico. And it's a great trip to be. It's Casa por Cristo. Is that right? Casas por Cristo. Houses for Christ. I stumble over that all the time. It's a great trip. It's probably one of the most economical trips if you're wanting to touch your feet into the water to do something, to go on a trip, because I believe this one is $850 to go on that trip, and that even helps pay for the house, to build a house in Juarez, Mexico. And so that's a pretty interesting trip. I have not, I've got a lot of friends that have done it and talked with them, but I have not been on a trip of that nature. Luckily Chelsea has, and that's why we wanted to kind of talk about that one. But how did you get involved with it? Maybe that's the best question to start with, is how did you get involved with it, and tell us a story about it.
Okay, well, I got involved with Mexico, not Casas por Cristo, I think at 14 or so. So I've been on 7 different trips to Mexico, 3 with Casas por Cristo. I really have a heart specifically, obviously, for Mexico, but specifically for Casas por Cristo because of their mission. And their mission, just to read that real quick for you, is Casas por Cristo exists to open the door for local pastors and churches to share the love of Jesus Christ. And they do that by building houses. So they build houses for these families who own like a very small parcel of land or have building rights on the land, at least. And they use that as a gateway to get them connected to the local church. In order to apply to have a home built, they need to go through the local church, which is what every other ministry I've been a part of that goes to Mexico. They're all great ministries, but some of them kind of lacked that permanent, long-term connection. And that's what Casas por Cristo, I think, really has staying power, and it's really something you can get behind, because you know that when you go, there are people laying the groundwork before you, and there will be people who follow up and are with you with that family afterwards. And that's really why my heart is just tied to that ministry. And a good example of that is a story I told in first service, and it was about a particular build that we did that started out not so awesome. The ground when we went was extremely sloped still, even though that was part of the requirements that the family should level out the ground. You could tell they had kind of done it, but maybe hadn't done it to builder standards. And it was, let's just say that there was sewage dripping into the ground, so we had to spend hours and lots of labor, so very tiring time, digging out basically into a hillside to level the ground. And then we were supposed to have, electricity. Well, we had electricity, but it was about enough electricity to power a cell phone and not power tools. So we struggled there. Finally, we got a generator, but the generator broke and was not working. And this was all on day one. Everything just seemed to be going awful, you know, and it just really seemed like there was,
But the good news is you only had a week left, so.
Well, actually, it was a four-day build, we went with a bunch of contractors, so they, you know, oh, we'll get it done in 3 days, and then for day four, we'll just, like, you know, paint or do something extra, you know, that was their idea, and so it was a little humbling, I think, for everybody. Almost all of us on the trip were either professional construction workers or somebody like me who knew nothing about construction before but had, because of my time with Casas Per Cristo, had some experience building these houses. And so we were all very humbled, realizing that where we wanted to be on, you know, by noon on day one, we were barely scraping by 6 o'clock at night. But the thing that really was awesome about that is because Casas Per Cristo is so connected to the people whose houses they built for, you know, we got the house done. Sometimes we felt like we weren't going to, but we got it built. We, you know, had a great time, had lots of fun. Once we kind of got over the stress of the first day, it was a wonderful trip. And we went home, and, you know, normally that's just it. You don't really hear what happens after that. But the missionary who partnered with us on that build actually came to our church, and he spoke, and he told that story. And I was like, oh, yeah, that trip. I'm thinking in my mind, man, that was just a crazy trip. And but then he told me the part that I didn't know, and that was the part where he went back to visit with the next group that went with our church, and they were really disappointed and bummed out because when they got there, there was no way there. They were all gone. So he's like, well, maybe they're at work, maybe they're school, whatever, wherever they are. They're all about to get in the van and leave, and the family comes, and they're all holding Bibles, and they had just come from Bible study. And this was a family who was not Christians when we built their house for them, who, because they somehow saw through the disaster of that build, and they saw Christ's love in us. And because of that, and because of the connection that they had, then they went to the pastor who they were already connected with at the church, and they began going to that church and began learning about Christ. And a year later, they were believers who were in Bible study and sharing the word with their neighbors. And so for one story, I have at least 7 stories that I could tell, one from each trip, but that one story is just, that's why I do it, that's why I love it, and yeah, that's why you should go too.
That's awesome. We have a trip planned, is that correct? And we have spaces available for 10 to 15 people to go, and when is that trip?
March 10th through the 17th.
March 10th through the 17th. So if you want to get your feet wet, so to speak, in missions, but you're not sure you want to fly halfway around the world or do something of that nature, and I think that's part of the why behind the what of trying to give us options that will hit different people different ways and yet still makes an impact, because making disciples is a long-run game, and sometimes a week just doesn't get the job done. So I love the fact that we're partnering with churches, that we're not just going in and taking a hit and, you know, good luck. We're not doing that. But there are things behind that we'll be able to partner with, even though we'll be a half world away sometimes, that it makes a difference. And as we've been talking about the last 6 weeks, why the church? Why the church? Because you are God's plan A to make all of this happen, and there is no plan B. It's all because of you, and that's why we get excited. That's why Nathan and I get excited, Chelsea and the whole group get excited about this, is because, yep, there's a ton of work to do right here, But there's also a ton of work that we can be a part of in making disciples across the world, and that excites us as well. So any last words?
I guess the only thing I want to say is just this trip is for anybody, teenagers, college students, adults. If you don't even know how to use a hammer like I didn't my first trip, you're welcome to come. If you're a construction guy who can do it in his sleep, you're welcome. We will train on Mexican standards. Let's just say that. So,
well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this morning. I just want to close this time together by just sharing, just real quick, the reason we do what we do is because God has given us first. He gave his son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for our sins. And because of that gift, because he reached down, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God has given us, some of us, money, some of us, incredible talents, some of us, the time to do these things. And you just have to be willing to give him it back and say, I trust you with this. And so this last week I had a student from the lab that came over to me, and he had won a prize from selling a pig. And he brought in some of the money from that pig and said, here, give this to ministry, world missions going on around the world. I ended up, he actually said, give it to your parents for ministry. And if he can do it, we can do it. You know, and it doesn't mean that we have to give everything. I mean, it can feel overwhelming to hear all these numbers and all of this, but even a little bit from the prize from a pig will go towards advancing the gospel and accomplishing the mission that we have here at Living Hope. And so I want to encourage you, if you have never made that decision to accept that gift of Jesus Christ in your own life, a payment for your sins, then I would encourage you, don't wait any longer. And if you have, let's work together at accomplishing the mission right here in Madison and around the world. And so there's four opportunities for you. They're laid out in the notes section of the bulletin. There's also an envelope that if you would like to give today to one of those projects, if God is putting it on your heart, I want to support this ministry and God has just put it on my heart today, go ahead and put some cash or a check in that envelope. And then make sure you mark which ministry you want it to go towards. As my dad said, there is that ministry training center that giving opportunity will be good for today only. And then we're going to, month by month, we're going to give these opportunities again for you to give towards. But there's also giving kiosks. There's one up by the main entrance and one in the coffee shop. And in the coffee shop, we have put together a corner of missions, and there's lots of things from what we talked about today, from Guatemala and from Nepal, and we don't have much from Mexico yet because we haven't gone there yet together, but if you want to check that out, there's even a motorcycle out there that if you want to just check out, but the ministry team, the missions team is going to be there. If you want to visit, if you have questions, there's also some more material about what we're doing, and then Pastor Keith and Sandra will also be there if you want to visit with them. But let's close together, and I want to pray, and then we're going to dismiss. But after I pray, I just want to show you this last video, and it's just as a reminder about what the church is supposed to be and what we're supposed to be about. So let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving first. Thank you for sacrificing first. And Lord, help us to ask you, what would you have us give? Some of us, we just need to start praying for these four opportunities and for those around the world to come to know you and to be discipled. For some of us, it's to give more of what we're already giving to the church, but we're going to bump that level up a little bit and give to these projects. For others, it's to give of their time and to go on these trips. Lord, whatever it may be, God, I just pray that you will direct us and help us to be listening. And as we're teaching up in the lab, in our elementary ministry, help us to be cheerful givers. Help us to look at it not as a drudgery and not as something that we're guilted into, but as something that we're going to say, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do it with a smile because I know you're going to take care of me. You're going to take care of us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will continue to help us to advance the mission that you laid out for us of spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, both in Madison and in Lake County and around the world. And we just pray all this in your name. Amen.